Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called.
This is Dr. Alali on
Tuesday Health Talk Radio. It has been a wild week, and we are so glad you're joining in this evening to Blog Talk Radio. If you're dialing in by phone, you dial 347-945-5416 for the U.S. Canada number. And if you are on Facebook, you can join me live now for this presentation this evening in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. We would be remiss if we didn't take some time to talk about emergency preparedness. Emergency preparedness is something that all of us need to be thinking about, because if a hurricane hit or a tornado hit in 5 minutes, or you had a warning of an hour, would you be ready to grab and go? And so we want to talk about this tonight. Emergency preparedness. Are you ready for the storm? I want to bring your attention, if you're on Facebook, I want to bring your attention to my Facebook page, Dr. Rhoda Zion Alali Johnson, because I have posted up an emergency preparedness guide from the Center for Disease Control, and that's what I want to be talking about tonight. We've been talking about getting ready for the storm, and this storm was so amazing that I was just blown away watching at all the perils of destruction that happened in this storm. And I'm going to ask you to bear with me for a second as I'm trying to get to Facebook. This Facebook posted, because we have an opportunity to serve our nation, and we have an opportunity and a responsibility to be ready to keep our families safe. And so tonight we're going to be talking about keeping our families safe. If you go to my Facebook page, you see that there is, you will see that there is this CDC, the Center for Disease Control, pulled up. And I want to go there. If you go to the Emergency Preparedness and Response from the Centers for Disease Control and Disease Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia, you will see, I'll turn my phone around so you can see the screen. I guess I can also do it like this so that you can see the screen from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Emergency response. I'm going to close in on the address bar for those of you that want to copy down this information. Everybody needs to go to this site. If you just go to Google and type in Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Emergency Preparedness and Response, you'll be able to get and download all the information that you need. Because these types of perilous storms are going to be happening nationwide. They're going to be happening nationwide, and they're going to be happening in diverse parts of the world. And so it is time to now gather this information and make sure that you have the things that are needed. So the Centers for Disease Control talks about having an emergency preparedness and response plan. They offer a free kit. You can go to this site and download this emergency supply kit. It tells you exactly what you need. You need at least a 3-day supply of food and water. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing is getting serious because we have tornadoes in diverse places. We have floods. We have mudslides, and now we have this these three hurricanes that just took the nation by storm. And a lot of people were not prepared. They were not prepared when this hurricane hit Florida. They said it was going to go up the east side, and it went up the west side. And so now, with the Center for Disease Control giving this advisory, we need to take heed, not only for yourself, but for your neighbors. I see you. Look at my namesake on the line. Thank you for turning into Facebook Live, my twin, Miss Candy Kane. I see some people down here from Guest Settlement on Facebook Live. Thank you for tuning in. I see Cleveland in the house, Wilmington in the house. Hello, everybody. Thank you. To my colleagues at Columbia University, thank you for tuning in. I see Howard University online with us tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So we're talking about emergency supply kit. This is what they're saying that you need. There's no need for you really to take notes. You need to go to the website and download this. You need to have at least 1 gallon of water per person. So if you've got 5 people in your house, you need to have an emergency supply of water, 1 gallon per person per day. So if you have 5 people in your house and you need a 3-day supply, that means you need 15 gallons of water in your house. You need food that is easily to make so you won't spoil. It won't spoil like canned soup, dry pasta, dry powdered milk. You need to have a manual can opener and basic utensils to prepare food with and to serve food. For health supplies, you need a 3-day supply of all the medications that the people in the house are taking at a minimum. And you need to store that in a separate place so you can grab and go. That's when, especially if you're on diabetic medications, heart medications, if you need a walking cane, you need to have a cane in the car or a cane in your transportation vehicle. You need to put this stuff in order so that you can be able to sustain the storm. I've been watching the news down in Key West. Wasn't that something? The whole 95% of all the houses there were destroyed. And they interviewed a lady down there. She said her and her family had been barricaded in their houses for 2.5 days. They had to survive. She said it was a nightmare because they did not get enough water for everyone. And see, when you're under that kind of stress, your body needs more water for hydration because you're constantly urinating, you're constantly offloading, and down there in the heat, I could imagine how hot it was. They didn't have no air conditioning. They didn't have no electricity. The gas, all the forms of energy was knocked out, all the power. And then they had no communication with the rest of the world. They had no way to charge their cell phones. So in the emergency, you have to have backup systems for your cell phones and make sure that you have systems that give you extra sources of energy. You're going to need your personal care supplies, your soap, your toothbrush, toothpaste, baby wipes. And I tell people you need a bottle of peroxide. Peroxide is amazing for sterilizing, neutralizing foods, and it's amazing for emergency if you get cut. If you have some type of bite, always have a bottle of peroxide in your personal care items. You need safety items that you need to have in your 3-day kit. You need a first aid kit, emergency blanket. You know, you can go in the first aid kit, make sure there are Band-Aids, some Neosporin ointment. There are safety pins in case somebody gets cut and you need to bandage something up. You should make sure you have scarves, extra blankets. Now, they have those emergency blankets, those camping blankets you can get that are like, you know, $5 or $10. They're silver. Those are excellent. They're excellent for many reasons. They're excellent because, number one, they keep you cool. If you're in the heat, they keep the heat. If you're in the hot weather, they keep the heat off the body. If you're in cold weather, they amplify the heat of the body. But when you're in a storm like that with down power lines and you have a lot of static radiation, many of these blankets have static blocking factors so that they're able to keep you from being assaulted by static that is accentuating, you know, any electrical down power lines in the area, as well as chemicals that's picking up static. If you've been listening to Houston, you know they're having a lot of problems with benzene down there, a chemical called benzene that is highly toxic to the body. It can make you have lymphatic cancer and all kinds of lymphatic diseases. So you need something that helps to move the air and helps to mitigate static in the air. And these emergency blankets have more than just maintaining the thermal dynamics of the body, the heat and cold of the body. They can be used for other environmental safety sources also. You need to make sure you have a multi-purpose tool that can act like a knife, a fouling device, pliers, and a screwdriver. And you need to have a whistle. Now, why would you need to have a whistle? Hey, Houston, I see you, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you for being in the house tonight. One of my dear friends, Miss Stiles, down in Houston, with one of my riding high sisters, praying mighty woman of God. Pastor Connor from Hawaii, thank you for tuning in tonight. So we're talking about having a whistle. Now, why do you need a whistle? Because when you're in the storm and you may be hurt, wounded, you may be trapped under some debris, you got the whistle to blow to advise people of where you are, making a sound. It is so important that we take heed to what the Center for Disease Control is saying, because we don't know what's going to happen where in the United States. You need electronics. Everybody should have a flashlight. You need to have a working flashlight in your car and a working flashlight really in every bedroom in the house. You certainly need a working flashlight, two or three of them in your emergency supply kit. You need an FM and AM radio that's battery-powered or solar-powered or hand-cranked. And one of the reporters specifically talked about having an FM and an AM radio because you don't know which transmitter is going to get the most power. And on both transmitting sources, AM and FM, there is emergency information, channels that have emergency information. As we talked about, having cell phones with chargers and extra backup chargers for the cell phones. You need to have extra batteries for the electronics, especially the flashlights, because if you have to use them by night, of course you can drain the battery and you can lose contact. So you need to carry documents. You need to have important documents with you at all times, like insurance card and immunization records. Matter of fact, many people are using the clouds online to store their information, their insurance cards, and their immunization records. There's electronic charting now that you can have your medical record done electronically. You need to have your real estate deeds. All your important papers need to be put in a secured box. It's not enough to just have them in your house. You need to have them in maybe a safety deposit box, something that is waterproof and can sustain the damage. And you need to have copies of all your important records. They need to be in a virtual file someplace where you can file them online, maybe in your cloud, as an emergency backup plan. You need, if you have diabetes or you have any type of medical disease, you need to have a medical bracelet on. You need to have that as part of your emergency preparedness kit. I know it doesn't list it in these kits, but I'm telling you that anything can happen to you when you have high blood pressure, when you have diabetes, when you have cancer, and you get in a situation where you're dehydrated or you're overexposed to the heat. So you always want to let people know. Or you know, you've taken your medicine and you don't have enough food to cover you. So you need to always, someone needs to know what your medical status is, and even if you have to write it out and put it on a badge on your arm, you need to be clearly identified so anyone, any emergency responder or first responder that has to come in contact with you can assess you based upon what are the health challenges that you have. Because if you pass out and you're diabetic, it could mean because your blood sugar is too low and they need to give you emergency glucose or emergency sugar to bring it up. If your blood pressure is too high and you're in heat, you could pass out. It means they might need to give you some type of medication to bring your blood pressure down. So you need to give people a point of reference as to your health concerns when you are in an emergency situation. You need to keep extra cash someplace. I know that's always a temptation because if you keep cash in the dashboard or cash in the trunk and you see somebody says a big sale sign in the window, you're subject to mobilize that cash and get out and spend it. So what I suggest you do is keep some cash in the house in a package, in a zip bag so you can grab it and put it in your emergency preparedness kit because, you know, the ATMs are going to be down. People can't transact electronically. And we've seen that happen to a lot of people trying to get from Florida up through South Carolina. When the storm hit, the electricity went out, and people could not buy gas with a credit card. You don't think about those things, but you need to keep some cash on hand, and that depends upon how much reserve that you have. The more cash you have, the better off it's going to be for you. You need to keep an extra set of car keys and house keys, and that is so that in the midst of shuffling around, you know, your car keys can get lost, so you need a backup set of car keys. It's always good, husband and wife, or parents and children, that two people in the getaway car try to have a set of keys to the house and to the car. So if one person loses it, you still have another person with a set of keys. And this can happen when you're out running around in the rain, slipping and sliding in the mud. I mean, those people had quite an ordeal to deal with. Trying to get out of the Florida Keys, trying to get out of Georgia, parts of Georgia. And, I mean, it was crazy. I had one of my godchildren was living up outside of Tampa, and they said the storm was coming, was going to go to the East Coast at first, so they were going to stay in the area that they were in. And they said, no, you know, it's mandatory evacuation. You got to get out of here because the storm is coming straight up your pathway. And they ran all the way over to Jacksonville, Florida, only to find that the St. John River over there flooded. And that was some kind of flood. Did y'all see the news? The water came all the way up. It was like high tide, 10 feet in the city. And they had snakes and alligators. Who would ever think of the snakes and alligators? But when you're going up I-95 and I-75, I think it's I-75, at parts of that highway it's called Alligator Lane. They said because, God forbid, your car would break down in that alligator lane and you have to get out on the highway, they said those alligators smell you and they come up out of swamps, and if you can't run, you sure enough going to have to call on Jesus. So down there they were talking about all the people with snake bites, and they were telling people not to get out in that water because they didn't know where the snakes was, the alligators. It had over flooded in the Everglades, and the alligators were loose everywhere. And, you know, we just – To be in a dry house on dry land with dry clothes on and not have to worry about an alligator coming after you, isn't that a blessing? So while you're praying today, remember to pray for these people, especially those who didn't have any emergency preparedness, because there's a lot of suffering people because they did not take time to acknowledge that it is now time that we get a plan and we keep a plan and we move a plan. Hey, I see my team. I see Ohio in Facebook Live. Thank you. Thank you, Ohio, for tuning in. I see my cousin. Hey, Mr. James, how are you? And my sister, the Angel of Mercy in Middletown. Miss Sandy, how are you? We're talking about emergency preparedness. And one thing I can say, and I appreciate about the Mormon Church, is because they have an emergency preparedness program. They are... And the Episcopal Church, they are getting people involved with environmental ministry, environmental health, and emergency preparedness because there are too many things happening in our environment, too many things happening with storms, and we're not prepared, and there's too many deaths, much heartache occurring because people did not take the time to care. And part of your kit, you should have a heart of mercy. so that you're taking heed to help care for others. We're part of our churches, so many churches that are around in the communities. We celebrate you. Those of you who are raising water, raising money for water, getting new clothing, school supplies, book supplies. I'm part of a team. We're filling up a tractor trailer that's departing from our community and headed down. We're sending a truck to Houston and one to Florida. And as we've seen the need, it wasn't until this hurricane happened that we had a wake-up call that we need to be exhorting one another to have our own emergency preparedness kits. And it's wonderful to see that the Center for Disease Control has solved that problem for all of America. Isn't the media, social media wonderful? I posted up the page on my Facebook page. So you can just go to my Facebook page and download this information you need for this private, for your personal emergency kit. The other thing that they talked about is having a plan. We need to sit down at least once or twice a year and rehearse. What is our plan? Do you need to type up a list? We all need to type up a list with emergency phone numbers of who to contact if there's an emergency in the family. We have so many single parents at home with children, and if something were to happen to the parent, does that child know who to call? Do they know the phone number? I know after this hurricane, before the end of this week, I'm going to have an emergency list so that my grandbabies know how to navigate an emergency in the event that their mothers, their fathers are sick or something happens. I know my father was a heart patient, and we all had to learn how to drive by the time we were 12 years old because we never knew if he was going to have chest pain and we were going to have to drive him home. So it's good that we're able to have the Center for Disease Control and Prevention putting together this plan. So what's your plan? Do you have your numbers listed? Does your spouse know how to contact your family, your sisters, your brothers? Is there an emergency contact in the city? Who would be a secondary emergency person? If you're living husband and wife in a city where there's no relatives around, do you have a close friend? Is that close friend your pastor? Maybe somebody in your ministry group? We have got to get this information organized, and we've got to strengthen our families with a plan. Do you know how to contact? Is it your job? I was surprised to see that there was a hospital in Florida, and they weren't quite under an order to evacuate, and so it was amazing that they allowed the hospital workers to bring their families to the hospital. And from the hospital, they were able to contact their loved ones because the communication had gone out in the city. And so we've got to get these plans together. So the Center of Disease Control is saying have your emergency contact list put together. Make sure in your family that there's a cabinet, there's a stationary place somewhere where you have emergency contact numbers. And they said if you have to travel out, everybody needs to have an emergency contact card on them. Get an index card, 3x5 card, and write down somebody's going to be the command person. Write down their numbers, maybe two or three command people, so that everybody's communicating with that person. I was amazed to see and hear on the news that how many people use Facebook and social media as a point of contact because they could not use their cell phones, they could not use their home phones, but on Facebook and through Twitter, they were able to let their family members know where they were at and what state they were in, what their needs were. Hey, Canada, thank you, Montreal, for tuning in. I see I have some of my former nursing students. Hey, Miss Valerie. These outstanding nursing students, my colleagues now. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And so, you know, making this plan, making sure you have the contact person using Facebook and Twitter as a communication source. There's even a recommendation that you have a family emergency page on Facebook so that your family knows that in a state of emergency, they're posting up on your family's emergency preparedness response page. We're on Facebook. You can message one another. You can post up, you know, the status of one another. You can post up where resources are available. As you saw on the news, that 60% of Florida, you couldn't buy gas. You couldn't buy gas in South Carolina. And so people were using their Facebooks to tell the community and to tell the families where gas stations were available that had gas available, where resources, where food and water was available. So I tell you, Facebook has become the hero, and it's become a front and center in this campaign because it has been the one communication medium, Facebook and Twitter, where people were able to communicate their status, they were able to state their needs, they were able to state their whereabouts, they were able to state if they were safe, if they were hospitalized. I mean, it's just wonderful to have a blessing of this kind of communication medium because, ladies and gentlemen, this is a wake-up call for all of us. This is a wake-up call for everyone to reevaluate their emergency preparedness and response plan, especially for your children. Do they know who to call if there is an emergency in your house? Do they know how to contact an adult? We have to really revisit what our children know and what they know how to do. What do they know how to do and how effective are they? And maybe we need to take time to give them a dress rehearsal in this event. You know, let's just stage an emergency at home. What happens? I know when my children were small, I used to stage, you know, that I had a heart attack. What was they going to do? Because I went out to shovel snow one time, and I started having chest pain. And I said, Lord, if I have a heart attack, they were so small, I said, would they know what to do? And so I remember taking them through a dress rehearsal of calling 911. And so we staged a dress rehearsal of calling 911. And my youngest son, Khalil, I said, oh, I'm having a heart attack. He runs over to me and says, in the name of Jesus, you not have no heart attack, Mom. I'm going to call on Jesus, then I'll call 911. So that was his game plan. I know I put a little twist on that, but it's serious. Do our children know how to respond in the middle of a storm, in the middle of an emergency? Do they have numbers to call? That's real. The next thing that the Center for Disease Control is talking about is to be informed. If your electronics are knocked out, what is your source of communication? What is your game plan? Who do you have whose number you have memorized? The Center for Disease Control is saying you need to memorize a number where you can get information. What's the number you have that you can get information? Do you know the emergency, non-emergency number of your police department? Do you know a non-emergency number, or where is there an information line in your city? Some cities, you know, you have to call 511 or 711 or 222, and they have an emergency information broadcast line that gives you a list of resources that you can access in a time of emergency. Be informed. Memorize that number. Have everybody in your family memorize that number. On the index card that you have for everyone with everyone's contact number, make sure you have an emergency number on there where you can get information about where resources are, what the status of the storm is. I mean, this was really poignant. Can you imagine that? A level 5 storm wiped out Key West, Florida. They had no communications. Even though they told them to evacuate the island, some people said, we're not going anywhere because they said, they have told us time before and time again the hurricane was going to knock us out, and the hurricane didn't knock us out. They said the people said they were not prepared. They couldn't imagine that the storm would be that tremendous. And they had no communications, no power. They just prayed that they would endure the storm and not be killed in the storm. And they prayed somebody would be able to find them, because there was no way they could communicate to anybody. What a miracle. Be informed. So they were able to set forth information so that they were able to see. They were able to see, and they were able to leave flashers so that they could be found. Thank God they had emergency flashes that they could put on the ground to identify their location, because they had to be identified by drones in the air and military helicopters that found them, that found their signaling devices. I was amazed. I mean, it flattened whole houses. One reporter counted 5 washing machine and dryers that had been thrown out of houses and thrown over to the shore. Yachts were stacked up on top of each other. So be informed. Where, how do you contact people? What is your source of communication if your total methods of communication are knocked out? If the radio is knocked out, the TV is knocked out. Make sure you have a source of communication, that you are in a compromised situation, so that you can signal people to let them know where you are. Coping with a disaster or traumatic event. You know, some people have a stigma about getting counseling, but God has all kind of angels. He has all kind of counselors available for you. And when you go, if you have to go through the storm, and you have to process going through a traumatic event, know that it's okay. It's okay to share that with someone. Because going through a disastrous storm like that and a traumatic event, it has a way of working out faith in your life in ways you can't imagine. Because in the storm is when you find out God is a sovereign God. In a storm is when you find out He really will carry your burdens. He really will carry, He'll carry you through the storm. And, you know, every single one of us have a storm. We can testify what God carried us through. We didn't think we could make it. We found out He was a faithful God. And this is what's incredible. This is why you need to learn how to pray. This is why you need to belong to somebody's church, somebody's fellowship. Because believe it or not, you were anointed and you were put in the earth to make a sound. You were anointed and put in the earth to say what God says. You were anointed and put in the earth to take dominion over the elements of the earth, to nurture the earth, to bring forth a harvest. You were put in the earth with a purpose. That's why I tell people, when you're looking around and you see all these different people from all kind of walks of life, all kind of races and creeds and elements, you can just lay back and say, that's how big God's imagination is. Because every single one of us was created by God. Every race was created by God. Every creed, every animal, everything was created by God. And this would blow me away. I've been a registered nurse 41 years. There's nobody in the world with a fingerprint like mine. There's nobody in the world with a fingerprint like yours. Even your children have unique fingerprints, because we are supposed to do something in this earth. We're supposed to make a sound that's so glorious. We're supposed to do a task that's so merciful that it brings God's heaven to this earth. And when the storms of life, Martin Luther King said, only when it's dark enough in the storm can you see the stars. Only when it's dark enough in the night can you see the stars. It's in the storm when you find that God is a sovereign God and you find that He's anointed you to stand tall and speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. Did you anointed you know that you was anointed to say, peace, be still? Churches across the United States and around the world, we all spoke in unison to this hurricane. We said, peace, be still. And when we came on one accord, and we sat down and we pushed back the differences, and we didn't look at each other because I'm holding a hand of a person who's from Asia, or a person who's from Africa, or a person who is Native American, or a person who is Caucasian, or somebody from Europe. Race was irrelevant. The fact was we were all in the storm together, and when we put our love together and our hearts together and we held on close and we said, peace be still in the name Lord Jesus, that storm had to start decreasing in power and authority because we united ourselves around love. We were united. Our coping skill was prayer. And you have a second coping skill you may not know about, but you are anointed I started calling the word of God to the storm. I started speaking the word of God and telling God, you are the sovereign God. The whole earth is yours. Quiet the storm. I started speaking to the storm and telling it, you got to come back, go back. You got to diffuse and fizzle out. Because we're anointed to speak good news to the poor. And we can use that anointing when you're dealing with people that's depressed. A lot of people are going to be depressed after this storm. How are we going to help people nurture? How are we going to help them be strong after they've lost everything? We're going to give them the word of God. And we're going to tell him he is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that will provide for you. He's the God able to restore everything that you've lost. In the book of Isaiah 61, he says, we're anointed. We're anointed to speak to people who are poor in spirit, who are depressed, and to give them the good news that God is going to give them double for their trouble and help them rebuild if they can just have the faith, a grain of a mustard seed. We're anointed to bind up their broken heart. Do you know how many people are going to be brokenhearted behind this? You've lost everything. Years and years, especially down in Florida where all those people are retired. They've lost their years, baby pictures, wedding rings, wedding albums, college degrees. Their papers are out at sea. How are we going to encourage these people? We're going to go to Isaiah 61, and we're going to say, he will bind up your broken heart. We're anointed to set the captive free. So many people are going to be captured by the fear and anxiety that this has created because they lost everything. Isaiah 61 says you have an anointing. You have 10 powers in the anointing of God on your life. You're anointed to set the captive free, those that would be captured. Do you know how many people are going to be exacerbated in drinking and using drugs and alcohol? And by the authority of the love of God, you can say, you're free. I release you from captivity in the name Lord Jesus. How are we going to deal with the children, people that's grieving because their loved ones were killed? 40 people have experienced death in the storm. 40 people have died. Look at the Caribbean islands. The island of, is it Bermuda? Totally gone. 95% of all the structures destroyed. How are we going to help these people hold on to faith? We're going to proclaim the good news in their life. We're going to proclaim the word of God over them. So many people who've lost their loved ones, they've lost their hope. How are we going to help them to hold on to life? We're going to help them hold on to life because when they get in the darkness, did you know every single one of us has a prison ministry? People who are in prison are in darkness, but we are anointed to speak to that darkness and tell that darkness to go. With this anointing, we can decree and declare those people who would be a prisoner to heartache and pain. We can decree and declare you are released from the pain and the heartache. We are anointed to strengthen every person to speak to the elements of the earth, the wind, the waves of the sea, the elements of the earth, and every person in all of these areas that have been devastated by this hurricane. And we can decree a year of the exceeding favor of our God. Did you know you were anointed to decree and declare a year of the favor of the Lord over someone? But if you decree and declare favor, you have to also decree and declare this is a day of vengeance of our God. Because when God blesses you, he's going to restore double to so many of these people who lost their homes, their assets, their businesses. He's a merciful God. I thank God for a government that recognizes we have to rebuild the people and restore these communities, and they were quick to mobilize to action to begin to mobilize funds and to begin to appropriate funds so that FEMA could go and render intervention. I thank God for Pastor Joe Osteen opening up his church and becoming a command center to help people with coping through this disaster and getting resources, and all the many volunteers that are mobilized from across the nation. I've been on my little own command center helping with environmental issues, especially with my colleagues down in Houston. They're concerned about the gases, the contamination of water. I said, yes, nanotechnology is highly effective in helping to move, create energy waves so that any chemical in the air is neutralized and balanced, to help control static in the environment from the down power lines that have energized the earth. And there's a lot of static surge in the electrical systems of houses that are still standing. Yes, the nanotechnology is highly effective with water, helping to balance chemicals in the water so they can be filtered out and the water can be alkalized, because all those people in this region need to be drinking alkaline water. Why? Because they're exposed to an inordinately high levels of gases and chemicals that will overload kidneys and organs and can create heart and kidney failure. So we have to be intentional in being dutiful to make sure we restore the environment and we reduce the exposure that these people are going to have going back to that area. We're anointed to comfort people in disaster and traumatic events. And when we proclaim the year of the favor of God, and the day, that's a compound sentence, of the vengeance of our God, as people are rebuilding and restoring, God will send his angels to protect that reset and that rebuilding and that retrofitting. God will send angels to protect so that people are able to build strong, and that when we're able to build, he will arrest the spirit of jealousy. There's so much spirit of jealousy and offense in the earth. How are you going to be upset? Because now in these devastated areas, God is sending people of every race and every creed to help people. As I watched the news, I saw every race and creed out there helping. I saw Asian women. I saw Jewish men. I saw African-American men and women. I saw Native American. I saw Hispanics. I saw Mexicans. Everybody is down in the gutter, working together and showing forth. Nobody is caring about anything, but let's get the work done. Let's find out if anyone is in need. Let's rebuild. Let's restore. Let's support one another. They set up makeshift hotels to house 1,800 people to sleep, and there were volunteer firefighters and emergency response people from all over the United States, women, men, all ages, all races and creeds. Nobody asked the question, well, why are you here? Because of the color of your skin. No, we're all in this together because God made us all. God made us all, and he anointed every single one of us coping with the disaster and this traumatic event for the access that some people are going to have. We can proclaim an anointing of beauty over them because the book of Isaiah said, I will give you a crown of beauty for your ashes. God said, I will give you beauty for your ashes, and I will give you a crown for you to bestow upon your head. I will turn this shame and this distress and this disregard in your life. I'll give you double recompense for this. Because God wants us to have everlasting joy. He wants us to enjoy the inheritance that he's prepared for us. And so if his will allowed us to go through this torrential storm, and we are merciful with each other, we encourage one another. We may need to turn on some music and sing to one another. But get some words of encouragement in your mouth and start speaking it to people who have lost everything. Start sending out e-cards. Some of them are free. Some of them you got to pay for, to encourage people to hang in there. Start doing drives in your community raising, getting clothes and underclothes and toiletries, and they're asking everybody to provide new things and find you a point of designation. Don't just send it down, okay, sarah, sarah. Adopt a school, adopt in a community, adopt somewhere. Part of my a group of nurses, we've adopted St. Croix Island. I have people, friends on St. Croix Island. I was just so blessed that their house was so far inland that they lost power, but they didn't lose, have any physical structural damage, because those islands really took a slam. And pray. If you don't have no money to give, if you don't have no resources to send, if you don't know anybody to call, then you intentionally get a city, get a state, and start praying. Get a church, get a community, get a school. Send your prayers directly to a point of impact. Paul called it, the Apostle Paul in the Bible called it, have intentional purpose. Have intentional purpose, and I believe that God is going to restore to you. He's going to restore to you the blessings that you bestowed on others. Make sure in your emergency preparedness list, I'm moving on to the next subject, that you know where your urgent care clinics are, your hospitals are in your area, how you can get access to medical care in the middle of an emergency. If you're traveling and you got an emergency plan to be in another state, another city, make sure you use Google. The blessing of Google is that he will find it for you. The next thing to Google is OnStar. You know, I'm a diehard Toyota fan, and I've had Toyotas for more than 40 years. But after I got introduced to OnStar, I decided I would be a diehard General Motors person because I love OnStar. Much as I travel around America, and sometimes I get in the backwoods up in the mountains, and I call OnStar. OnStar can always find out where I'm at. They always know if I need to get to a hospital, if I need to get to anywhere I need to get, they can see it on the map and direct me to where I get there. And so you need to know where are the emergency facilities in your city and in the along the route that you're going and in the final destination in case you need to get some information. You need to make sure that you bookmark the Center for Disease Control because they keep their thumb on these disasters, on these, they have a whole emergency preparedness system. They have information on specific groups that you can contact to get resources like the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army that are at the helm of this disaster relief effort. The various churches in the communities are partnering with community infrastructure so that they're helping to direct volunteer services and services for families. We have a lot of displaced families that need, have special needs. We have children with special needs. I mean, I just give my hat off to the is a university down in Florida, where some of the senior citizens at the nursing home somehow got abandoned or they got separated from their group and they were just out in the floodwaters being knocked all around, knocked down. And I thank God they didn't get bitten by any alligators or any snakes. But the college students have taken these seniors in with their wheelchairs and everything down in this university outside of Jacksonville. And they are nurturing and taking responsibility for the elders. That is so encouraging to see that on the news, because our young people, they don't have a sense of responsibility for the elder. When I was growing up, my mother made us to know who the seniors were in the community, and we had to take them a Sunday plate. Sometimes we would have to go with her on Saturdays to clean up the houses, and we served them. The community was close-knit. We served the seniors in the community, and we have to get back to community empowerment, loving one another, with such a might that we help one another. And this is going to be critical in the days ahead, because when you're talking about rebuilding from these hurricanes, you're talking about massive needs. You know, the healthcare community is going to have to step up its game in environmental health, because even though we have all kinds of diagnostic codes and treatment codes for environmental medicine. We don't really use them in the United States. Canada uses them. They have 7 environmental health clinics. But we don't advocate environmental health medicine in the United States the way we can and the way we should. But the opportunity now is we have to advocate environmental health. We have to know where these chemicals are, where the radiation is. We have to know what the resources is for mitigating these families, because now it's critical to keep them detoxed, keep the air safe, and reduce the radiation and chemical exposure so we don't alter the DNA of the next generation. With these type of chemicals, the DNA in the loin of men can be altered and affect the second generation. What am I saying? If you're a man, 35 years old, and you have one of those chemicals that can alter genetic coding, and you get exposed, you can have a child, your son's not affected, but when he gets old enough and he starts his family and he has a son, his son might develop cancer before the age of 2 years old. When you see cancer in babies, in utero, and when in the first 2 years of life, those children could have been potentially injured in the groins of their grandfathers who got sustained exposure to chemicals or sustained exposure to radiation. And so that's why I'm going to be offering my expertise to my colleagues. I used to be a registered nurse. I've worked all over Texas and in Houston. I'm giving a shout out to my colleagues down there at Riverside General, where I used to be the nurse consultant. And I had Texans were good to me. They gave me a wonderful nursing career down there, and my hospital went belly up, and I was on the team that brought it back, and I learned a lot. And to Dr. Edith Irby Jones, I met her. She was the first African-American to graduate. Hey, Cincinnati, I see a high school mate on the line. Hey, niece, I see my niece on the line. Hey, Miss Sheila, I see you. But anyway, I was down in Houston, and the hospital had gone belly up, and I went down there to work on the team to bring it back. And we had so much fun bringing that hospital back. It was people in Texas, that's like a whole other country, because there's so many, they speak a different language. Everything is bilingual, English and Spanish. And they told me, when I left Houston, I went down to a little town called Eagle Pass, Texas. They said, Doc, you're going down here to this bilingual hospital. I got down there. I said, it's bilingual, all right. It was about a 77-bed hospital, as big as Clinton Memorial Hospital in Wilmington, Ohio, where I was born and raised. I got down there. It was bilingual. I was the only one speaking English. Everybody was speaking English and Spanish. And I said, Lord, thank God for Miss Hessen, my 10th grade Spanish teacher. My little 2 years of Spanish came in handy for me navigating my way in that hospital down there. And so it's time for me to say goodbye. I thank you for all my people checking in with me tonight from all over. My shout out to Columbia University. I thank you for my fellows that's on the research team with me, to my scholars down in North Carolina, my research team down there, to a shout out to a little girl we have down there named Miss Allie. This young lady is 20 years old. She was sent home to die. She has a rare, rare, rare seizure disorder called Unverg-Lou Borg's disease. That's when the central nervous system begins to collapse and loses its impulse, and these children seize continuously. And she was only able to sleep about 15 minutes twice a day for the last 6 months. And her wellness practitioner called me down. We went over to Charlotte to see her. And he evaluated her, and we donated some solar technology for her windows to help stop the static in her house. We are so excited tonight. I talked to her mom a few days ago. She has woke up out of the semi-comatose state. She doesn't have any spasms. Her seizures are now 98% gone. Her doctor is now writing prescriptions for the registered nurses that are managing her 24-hour care to use the nanotechnology to help her body to block static. And we are so excited about the future. I like the Facebook Live because it helps me to give personality to our Blog Talk Radio. We have our Canadian family on the line. Hey, Rod, Montreal, Canada. And Mario, our environmental health physicist on the farm up there. And I thank you guys for tuning in live tonight. We're broadcasting, simulcasting with Blog Talk Radio out of New York City with Pastor Jonathan Hill out of South Carolina. He has brought our voice to the nation, to the world, because with Facebook Live, I have friends all over the world. They're able to get on with from Senegal and from Nigeria and from, you know, all parts of the world. If I can wake my brother up in France, I probably can get him on this Facebook Live. So I've had fun with the team tonight sharing what's happening in the world today and how we can do it better. And so before you go, I just want to leave everybody with a word of prayer, because in times like this, you got to get your prayer off the shelf, shake the dust off of it, and get back to talking to the God who loves you, the God who created you, the God who's doing awesome things, the God who's calling us all together. So, Father God, in the name, Lord Jesus, we just come to you and thank you for this Facebook Live. I thank you that even though we are reviewing the disaster plan of the Center for Disease Control, when it comes to coping with disasters and dealing with traumatic events, nobody does it better than Jesus. Nobody does it better than prayer. Nobody does it better than being a person of great compassion and mercy. And so we ask you to release the spirit of comfort on the earth and the United States, down in these islands, places all around, Father God, in the Caribbean and across the United States. Because even though we were not in Florida, we got family and friends down there. And so we just want to thank you, Lord, that this storm could have done so much more damage. But because of your mercy and your grace, we were able to come together unified and command that storm to shut up and sit down and go back where it came from. We thank you for the authority you put on us, for the anointing on our lives, that we can say, peace, be still. And the waves have to obey the name of Jesus. And so now, God, in the aftermath of this storm, we're asking you to send ministering spirits. We're asking you to give wisdom to our leadership. Give them guidance so the resources are directed in the right places. We're asking you for a supernatural protection. Father God, we need you to mitigate the chemicals, God, mitigate the radiation. We're asking you to diffuse the environmental toxins, God. Father God, we prophesy to the four winds, and we proclaim Jesus is Lord, and we ask you for a fresh anointing on the wind to biobalance chemicals and radiation. Father God, minimize. We're asking you to annihilate the assault of these chemicals and radiation on the unborn seed that's in the men that live in these regions. Father God, your word decrees and declares that the priest Melchizedek knew the Levi in the loin of Abraham. And you know what seeds you got in the earth in these men that have great mantles anointing. The next Martin Luther King, Father God, is in this region. The next Joe Osteen is in this region. The next President Obama, Father God. The next great Mother Teresa, Father God, you know where the anointed ones are. And so I'm asking you to just blanket the whole area with the blood of Jesus. I cover this entire Caribbean with the blood of Jesus. I cover Houston, all Baton Rouge, Father God, the entire state of Florida, then this entire region. And I'm asking you to do a miracle. Father, let resources be released immediately so those people can clear out, they can mitigate, they can biobalance, and they can rebuild. Now, I thank you because you're the exceeding God, and you do amazing things. We bless you for your holiness and your righteousness. We bless you because you are God. When we cry out, it does not fall on deaf ear, but you attend yourself to us. Be magnified, God. We're asking you to do miracles from this disaster, to make men and women call on your name and rededicate their lives to you. And we thank you for being the Most High God. In the name of Lord Jesus, I'm asking for a special blessing to all of those that interrupt their busy schedule to tune in on this Facebook Live. I'm asking you to bless our engineers in Canada. Bless our engineers in California. Bless our engineers in Washington, D.C. Bless our engineers and the men and women out there that are navigating, Father God, nanotechnology to secure and balance environments. Bless NASA, Father God, and all the research that they're putting forth to guide us, to guide private industry, Father God, in developing nanotechnology from their research from space. We bless you, Father God, for the Center for Health Equity in New York City that has stood with us for almost 8 years now, God, helping develop curriculums to train for this new technology. We bless you, Father God, for the men that have sacrificed, the women that have sacrificed over 50,000 hours of volunteers to see this program through. We bless you, and we thank you for such a time as this. You have had us preparing for 10 years, trying to figure out how we can secure these families in these areas with this cross-contamination. And I thank you for being the Majestic King, and I bless everybody under the sound of my voice. Bless my engineer, Pastor Hill. Bless my co-host, Ida Morris. Bless my team. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Good night, everyone. You have an amazing week, and I'll see you next Tuesday. We're going to continue to pray for this storm, mobilize resources, mobilize your hope and prayer, pray for our nation. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hands. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through, but I'm still here. Tell somebody else that. Good that I have done. so many things. So many things. Hallelujah. But in spite of all that, look at somebody and tell them, I got the victory. Come on, tell them, I got the victory. It's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy keeping me. Come on, say it. Oh.
Mercy and grace.
That's my mercy and grace.
I'm